We are up to Nehemiah, Perek Tes Pasuk Vav. Perek Tes Pasuk Vav begins what we say every day in davening. Every day in davening, Atu Hashem Levadecha, Ato Asisa Es Hashmaim Shmei Hashmaim V'chol Tzom. This is a brief synopsis of Jewish history, going all the way back from the creation. And just before we begin, I just want to point out, and you probably all know, that there's a difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. In Nusach Ashkenaz, we begin with Pasuk Vav, Atahu Hashem Levadecha. Nusach Sfarad is something that is very difficult. I have here in front of me a Sfarad sitter. I'm not very fluent in Nusach Sfarad, I don't have Nusach Sfarad, but Nusach Sfarad begins with the middle of the previous pasuk. That's not something we normally like to do. We don't like to break up a pasuk called Pesukah de Pasuk Meshorin and Ale Paskinon. That principle is certainly true for Chamishe Chumshe Torah. How far does it go with regard to Nevi'im and Ksuvim is not clear. But Nusach Sfarad take the liberty of breaking up the pasuk here in Nusach Sfarad. Let me read you what it says. What are those words? And then it says, Atu Hashem Levadecha. Before we say Pasuk Vav Atu Hashem Levadecha, it begins with the expression, Vivarechu Hashem Levadecha, Umerayim Al-Kol Baruchu Sehila. This was the second half of the Pasuk we learned yesterday. Going back to Pasuk Hey, Vayomru Halavim Yeshua Vikadiel Boni Chashavnia Sherevia Hodia Shivania Pesachia Kumu Baruchu Hashem Eloikechem Min Ha'olam V'ad Ha'olam. So we discussed this yesterday. This is the Makor, the Beis HaMikdash did not answer Amen. They answered Baruch Shem K'malchus. So they answered Baruch Hashem V'olam Min Ha'olam V'ad Ha'olam. That's what it says here, Min Ha'olam V'ad Ha'olam. And then it concludes V'Baruch Hashem K'voidecha U'mereimam Al-Kol Baruchu U'silo. We gave yesterday two interpretations of what this Pasuk, what this means. But it's the second half of the Pasuk. And yet, in the Nusach HaTfilah, that's where it starts. V'varuch Hashem k'vodecha, u'mereimam al kol brachu sila, and then, atu Hashem levadecha, atu asisas Hashemayim shmei Hashemayim, v'chol tzvam. Now, if you were writing a siddur, you wouldn't do that. Because you know the rule, that you don't break up sukkim in the middle. Yeah?
I think we're guilty of that. Some people... Shabbos morning Kiddush, they start with Al-Kain.
Exactly. We once discussed this exactly. That's why some people go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, some people go back to the beginning of the Perek and the Chanani. They're very mak, but you should not start with Al-Kain. You have to have Zochoris, Yom HaShabbos, and Kadosh. You have to lead into the Pasuk. Exactly. Very many people tell me they're very makbid on this. Not to do that for precisely this reason. But here in the Nusach Sfarad, people do this every single day. Yeah.
Same thing by here, by both.
Exactly. You're supposed to start also. So there are people that are makbid to start the beginning of the pasuk.
No, but you have to kol makan yeshuvi.
Yeah.
You're supposed to start
with the beginning of the pasuk. So yet, what is going on here? So we have to say that the rules of ksuvim are not the same rules as chamishei chumshei Torah. Chamishei chumshei Torah is where we apply this rule in a very strict form that you don't have to break a pasuk in the middle, but a pasuk in ksuvim, pasuk in Nevi'im is not necessarily held to the same standard, and that's why here in the Nusach HaTfilah of at least Nusach Sfarad, they take the liberty of breaking up the pasuk starting in the middle of the pasuk. Okay, but it's very interesting to keep in mind that if you daven Nusach Sfarad, you're starting back. Anyone who daven Nusach Sfarad? See, I come to National Shul, the first sitter I find on the table is Nusach Sfarad sitter. Typical, right? What?
What?
I don't know. Eidah HaMizrach. I do not know. I don't have in front of me. I have to go look. I didn't look. Yeah, okay, so we can go look. Look at the Taimonim I read in the art scroll. In Nehemiah, they skip the whole. They just say this half a pasuk, and they skip the next six psukim, the next two psukim from pasuk. Well, what we say Nusach Sfarad, they look all together. So you see that the Taimonim had a whole different nusach of Psukei Dezimra. That itself is a very great discussion, how Psukei Dezimra evolved. Psukei Dezimra did not come about like that, snap of the finger. It was a process that came about over a very long period of time, and it was changed. Thank you very, very much. Okay, so here we have two Sephorad Sidurim. Okay, going. Let's see what it says here. Hallelujah, Baruch Hashem, Baruch David. The Chodosim Habris. Here it says Vivaruch. Okay, so it's just like Nusach Sart. Okay, in the Sart Siddur, here it's right in the middle. It's Vivaruch Shem Kivaydecha. And then begins the middle of the pasuk. Then begins the next pasuk. Atu Hashem levadecha. Okay, so the real Sephorad, Eidah Hamizrach, they do the same thing as Nusach. Well, Nusach Sfar is taken from the real Sfar. Okay, so very interesting. Okay, now let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Atahu Hashem levadecha, you Hashem are alone. You are one of a kind. Ata asiso es hashamayim, shmei hashamayim." This is a unique expression. We don't normally have such thing. Bereishis bar lukim es hashamayim, the esaret. We don't have bereishis bar lukim es hashamayim, u'shmei hashamayim. V'chol tzva'am. Where we have another pasuk, we have other pasukim in Bereishis that are mentioned the Shemayim, but it never mentions the Shnei HaShemayim. We have the Tzvaos, called Tzvaon. So I don't know here why the style is like this, but we do have, we are differentiating between the Shemayim, which appears to be the more immediate heavens, which we can see, and then there is what's beyond us, which we can't see, which is further away, the Shemei HaShemayim, called Tzvam, all of the stars, the planets, the moons, the hosts, Ha'aretz, the earth, v'chol asher alecha, and everything which is contained within the earth, hayamim, the seas, v'chol asher bohem, everything that is in the seas. It's known that we know much more about outer space today than we know what's in the deep oceans. For one simple reason, because more money has been invested to investigate, to send probes out into outer space. But to go deep down into the bottom of the ocean, to go all the way deep down, there are very great mysteries here, right here, locally, on this earth, which the interest has not been strong enough, there's not been enough of an interest in order for the government to spend billions of dollars to investigate the secrets that lie in the bottom of the ocean. What? Well, they could develop the technology. They can develop the same way they can develop technology to go to outer space.
They just got up to 5,000 feet. They can't go further. I mean, it's too difficult because the pressure is staggering. They don't have any
material. Yeah.
To go below 5,000.
But if they would really put their heads to it, I could imagine that, you know, how much the amount of money they spend to send a man to the moon. I once read an article, like, today they can't do it. They don't have that kind of money. But during the Cold War, they I don't know, they had the money. The government had the money. What Apollo, all those Apollo missions?
They're going to do it now. They want to take one of the asteroids and move it so they can get a better look at it.
At what?
They're going to bring an asteroid. They're starting to do it.
To move asteroids?
Two spacecraft to shoot an asteroid down close to the moon from the one that's past Mars. Get it down here so they can examine it.
Okay, interesting. But it says here, Hashem created the heavens, the heavens of the heavens, the all of the stars, the moon, the aretz, v'chol asher alecha, hayamim, v'chol asher bohem. We don't really know what's in the yamim. There's a lot of secrets down there which we can't really figure out. The atah you Hashem chay es klom, give life to everything this world needs, a continuous decree. Hashem has to continuously sustain everything in this world. Utzva Hashemayim, and the hosts of the heaven, luchom mishtachvim, they are bowing. They are in a constant state of bowing to Hashem. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Chazal explained that really what's happening is that the sun and all of the stars are bowing to Hashem. They rise in the east and they bow. That's a very interesting statement, because Chazal is telling us to look at the sun and the moon not from the perspective that the world is round, and the sun is the center of the universe and everything is surrounding it. Chazal telling us a very powerful statement is that the way we should look at the universe is the earth is the center of the universe. There are many sources that Chazal were very well aware that the earth is round. We think we only figured this out recently. Chazal knew, there are many indications that Chazal knew the earth was round and the Metzius. However, it's true, but from our perspective, from the human being, the way he sees things is he sees himself on this earth and he sees the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. And there, from our perspective, what is the sun doing? The sun is bowing down to Hashem. The Shechina is in the west. Why on Shabbos do we turn L'chododi? Why do we turn to the west and bow down? Because the Shechina is in the west. The Shechina is in the west. Yeah, also by the Kosel Hamaravi. By the Kosel Hamaravi, the Shechina never left from the Kosel Hamaravi because there's something to this idea that the Shechina is on the west side of the world. So it's a fascinating thing because if you talk to a scientist, there's no such thing as the sun is bowing. The sun is the center of the universe. The sun is not going nowhere. The sun is stationary. The earth is what's moving the star. Well, what's this all about? The answer is yes and no. The way Hashem created the world is Adam is the Yetzir Kaf Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem put us in the world to give us a certain perspective, and from our perspective, everything is bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Atu Hashem, next pasuk Zayin. So we'll go back to the Rashi's and Rashi and the Mitzvot, and we'll do some Drashim, some Farshim. Atu Hashem Elokim, you are Hashem Ho Elokim, the combination of Midas Harachamim and Midas Hadin. Asher Bocharta BeAvram, you selected this individual, our forefather, whose name is Avram, was originally Avram. You took him out of Ur Kasdim. That was the name of a place. It alludes to the kiln which Avram was thrown into by Nimrod. Nimrod, Avram destroyed the idols of Terach. Terach had a big business, multi-million-dollar business, selling idols. And Avram came and destroyed the idols. So Nimrod took his son, Terach took his son Avram to Nimrod for punishment. Justice. He destroyed my business. Nimrod said, what did he do? I destroyed my father's idols. So why? Because there's only one creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Nimrod threw Avram into the furnace. And miraculously, Avram survived. So Hashem took him out of the Ur. Ur, when Darsh and Kastim refers to the fire of Kastim, in the Kivshanu Esh. And Vesamto Shemo Avraham, you change his name from Avram to the Av of Aram to Avraham Av Hamoin Goyim. Avram could not have children. It's like Nina Shalot, his mazel did not allow him to have children, but by changing the same to Avraham, he would have children, have Yitzchak, and he would be the Av Hamoin Goyim. Umatzasa Pasik Ches. It is interesting that this is a new Pasik. Umatzasa Es Levo Neman Lefonecha. Look at how the Pesukim are arranged. And you found, let's read the Pesukim, Matzasa, and you found Es Livavo, his heart, Ne'amon Lefanecha, faithful before you, V'chorosimo Habris, and you forged a bris with him. This refers to the bris Bein Habisarim, or refers to the bris Milo. There are different interpretations. Loseis really refers to the bris Bein Habisarim on a similar level. Loseis is Eretz Hakanani. Here we have a list of six nations. Eretz Hakanani, Hakiti, Ho'emari, V'Aprizi, V'Hayvusi, V'Hagir Goshi, six nations. Loseis Lizaro, to give to his children. V'atokim es Devarecho, you kept your word, Hashem. Ki tzadik ota, because you are righteous. Now there are many different issues that have to be discussed. We'll go one at a time. But first thing I want to point out is, I don't see a good answer why we break up the pasuk as we do in the Nusach HaTzilin. Every single sitter, the Chorosimo HaBris is the beginning of a new paragraph. The shots, the Shliach Tzibur. If you go to a good shul, we have a good Shliach Tzibur saying Pesukei Dezimra. He concludes, V'samta Shano Avraham, U'matzasa Es Levavo Neman Lefanecha. There are people that could live their entire life and will never know that the word U'matzasa Es Levavo Neman Lefanecha is a new pasuk. The way if you go to shul every single day, it sounds, you would think, oh, you'll vaguely know. Vaguely you maybe know, yeah, these psukim over here, and the psukim in Divrei Hayamim maybe, the psukim. Okay, if you look carefully, oh, they're in Nehemiah. Okay, the next psukim, all the psukim are from Divrei Hayamim. But the psukim before Vayivarach David are from Divrei Hayamim. But this not everyone knows that these six psukim are from these last psukim are from Nehemiah. So wow, what a discovery! So the more sophisticated among us are aware Divrei Hayamim Nehemiah. But you'll never be aware, you'll never know unless you learn the psukim inside that the words Umatzasa es levavo nemon fonecha is not, it's shocking, scandalous, is not the end of the pasuk. Right, that's what I always thought until I learned this.
Right.
I always say V'yotzeisu V'yotkasten V'samta Shmo Avraham U'matzasa Es Lilo Nemo Lefnecha. You don't put a soif pasuk when you're lame. You got to be very careful to make that soif pasuk. I told you I used to want lame, and there was a person in the audience in the tzibur. He would give me the business if I would miss a soif pasuk. He let me know about it. He didn't say anything during the laning, but he was very good because he trained me. He trained me to really be medactic in this, to be extremely careful. He told me he didn't care about the trump. He told me I was doing a certain trump wrong. He told me I was doing the Zarka Munach Segol wrong. He started teaching me how to do it the right way. Okay, but he didn't really care about that. He cared about the Seif Pasuk. So I would never know this. And see, in this article, they have a dot. If they do have a dot, I wouldn't pay attention to the dot because I'm an autopilot. It's a new pasuk. U'matzasa es levonem al lefanecha is a new pasuk, and it continues into the Chorosi Mohabris. Why then do we break it up? Why then does the Shliach Tzibur end U'matzasa es levonem al lefanecha? Here there's a big, in this article, there's a big dash. And then on the next page, big, big letters, V'charosi Mohabris begins a new paragraph, a new, you never know, it's the middle of the pasuk. How can you do this? So again, we have to come on to this answer that we're dealing with Ksuvim, we don't have the same standard of breaking apart Sukkim and keeping Sukkim in one set. Alright, I don't know more than that. Every single sitter has the Charosi Mohabris on a new line, a new paragraph, a new section.
Except
in Chem, or the Sfart. Yeah, what do they have there? And they don't break it up into another section? Continue, the Siddur Agra. The Siddur Agra, the Vilna Siddur, the Vilna Siddur. All right. I have it here. I have it here. Okay, you're right here. Just one continuous paragraph. All right. It's interesting. Definitely an improvement. However, okay. That's one issue. Another thing that's very. I don't know. It could be it comes from the minog that when there is a bris milah, there's another very difficult concept. When there's a bris milah in shul, what is the custom? That the moihel, or the avi haben, or the sandik, or some have the tradition, you have to look in the minog Yisrael Torah, what the exact minog, the rav, reads each pasuk, one pasuk at a time in the sibur spot. I'm sure you've all been to a bris, where when they come to the v'charosim or habris, the moihel, there's a moil from the Yakasha moil. What's his name? Famous moil. I always hear him do this. He does very nicely. No. New generation. From Breuers. What's his name? I don't remember. He whenever he's the moil, he reads nicely, very nicely, aloud. You know, not every moil has a good, powerful voice, nice voice, but he's supposed to read each pasuk, one pasuk, and where do they start? They don't start with the middle of the pasuk, Matzasa. They start the Charosi Mohabris. And the different ways of doing it. So maybe that's where it comes from. Since that's the section, yeah?
Finish.
since that's the section of Beris Milah, so maybe somehow that's how it got broken up into the Siddur we start in the new chapter, because that's the critical part. Now what's difficult though with that custom, is the Beris here is not simply, is not Beris Milah. The Beris is really the Beris Bein HaBesarim. When did, what does it say here? The Chorosi Murah Brislos says the seven nations. The say here it's only six. The Pasuk there are ten nations. Here we're only listing six out of the ten, which is another discussion. So where did Hashem promise Avraham Avinu that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael? The Bris Bein HaBesarim, not Bris Milah. So why then does the Moel?
Inappropriate.
It's like you don't know what it says in the Siddur. Just because it says the word bris, that doesn't mean you're supposed to.
Yeah.
No, no. So it's not. There's much more depth. There's much more depth than the bris. The bris milah also connects us to Eretz Yisrael. The bris milah is an extension of the bris bein habesam, or vice versa. The bris bein habesam is more of an extension of the bris milah, and they are definitely related. And therefore, that is why it's not a problem. Indeed, they say that the very famous shloh. The Shloh says, why does the Ishmaelim, why do they have an achiza on Eretz Yisrael? What gave them the right to take hold of Eretz Yisrael? They cause us a lot of trouble. Well, there's no solution to the problem, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, to make peace with the Palestinians. Why are the Arab world, so this is a Shloh. When did the Shloh live? How many years ago did the Shloh live? A few hundred years ago. The Shloh says, because they have Bris Milah. For real. They have Avraham Avinu was Mal Yishmal. There's a real din by the Arabs that didn't this Bris Milah when the 13. So many of them already, the modern Arabs don't do it anymore because it's too painful. But the real religious Arabs, they do. They do have a Bris Milah. And that's not just, it's not a Meshigas. That's not just, they have a din Bris Milah. Avraham Avinu, it comes from tradition. That is what gave them a koyach to have Shlita over Eretz Yisrael to a certain degree, not Klal Yisrael, it belongs until Bias Gel Mashiach. We have Eretz Yisrael, but look at the facts. The facts are, who's controlling the Temple Mount? Who's controlling, who has half of Eretz Yisrael today?
Excuse me, anybody have a bike that's locked up against the gate outside?
Why?
In the shul.
Why, is it getting a ticket?
No, I need the room to get into. Anybody here?
No.
No. So this is a serious business. Shlach Kodesh. They have a din. They have a din. Din chelik in Eretz Yisrael until Mashiach comes. Until they're going to be out because of the din of Bris Milah. So what do you see from that shlah indirectly? That the Bris Milah is directly related to Eretz Yisrael. Here it says the Chorosim were bris to give Eretz Yisrael. The bris of Milah is a chelik of the din of Eretz Yisrael. The two go hand in hand. What?
How does the Shema make that connection?
Because he holds, because it's based.
The Eretz Yisrael is not, and Eretz Yisrael is not coming to
Shema. I don't know the answer. The bris. All we know is that the word bris, the bris of Milah, it's not just the Bris Milah, it's two sides of one coin. The Bris Bein HaBesarim goes hand in hand with the Bris Milah.
I agree, but that's for Yitzchak, not for Shmuel.
But, correct, that's for Yitzchak, Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'cha zara, but, you can't, there's a Shlah. The Shlah says that Yishmael also have a din, a real din Bris Milah. So that being that Eretz Yisrael is directly connected to Bris Milah, it has to then be that if you have an individual, a nation that has from the Torah such a thing called Bris Milah, it has to be that they also have some mashahu chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So the Shlah says.
Okay.
And of course, you have to be very careful with that because we're not chas hashalom, giving any legitimacy to the Arabs have any achiz in Eretz Yisrael. That's total nonsense, apikorsis. But it explains in Hashkafa, in Jewish history, why we are always struggling with the Arab world in trying to take hold of Eretz Yisrael. They are the sitna, our satan against us, because they make a false claim. I don't know, it's a they make a claim. They also have bris mila. This is not my word. The Shlomo is saying this. It has to just be understood properly. I'm probably not saying it over the correct way. I don't want to give too much legitimacy, but this is a very deep idea. And just, I want to point out that we say this every single day when a moel comes, it's a bris mila beis haknesses, and in shul they do suk the zimmer the proper way, and the shatz finishes off every paragraph, and the shliach tzibor or the moel or the avi haben or the rav will recite each pasuk of charos mar bris, and if you look at the psukim, you'll be wondering what in the world is going on. This pasuk bris is bris ben avsam, it's not bris mila, and the answer is no. You have to study the inyan much deeper. Bris mila and bris ben avsam, the two are directly related. Okay, now let's go to further in this pasuk. Atahu Hashem. So we mentioned over here. Okay, let's discuss the seven nations. We have a very big problem here in that there are only six nations. What happened? What happened to the other four? What happened to Chivi? Okay, there's a nation of the Chivim, and there's a nation of the Rephaim, and there is Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoini.
Right.
So okay, what happened? The truth is, Hashem promised Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Avsarim 10 nations. Here we're only listing six. Now the Torah enumerates nations in different places differently. Sometimes it says Chivi as being the seventh nation. Here we have Chiti. We do have here Chiti, if I'm not mistaken. It says over here, it says here Chiti, does say Chiti, but does not have Chivi. Chivi with the Vav is missing here. Now sometimes Chivi is substituted for Eretz Rephaim. And then by the Bris Ben Hapsam, there is no mention of Chivi, but there is a mention of the land of the Rephaim. So the commentators suggest that Chivi and Eretz Rephaim are one in the same. For some reason, it's not mentioned. That here we're recording what has happened in hindsight, facts. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, I'm going to give you the 10 nations. We only receive 6 of the 10. Now, Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni, that's already the Gemara Masechta Megillah that says that was not given to Yoshua, they were not Roy. That will come when Mashiach will come. That promise has yet to be fulfilled. That's the nation of Ammon, Edom, and Moab. Three nations, three major sections of land in Eretz Yisrael, non-Eretz Yisrael, near Eretz Yisrael, that will one day, we have no idea what this means. We don't even really know exactly what is included in. We can theorize, there are different maps, they try to tell you what it is, where Edom and Moav and Ammon is, but what? But much past the Eber Hayarden. How far does Edom? Is Edom America? Is that also called Edom? How far does Edom go? Maybe Ammon and Moav we know better. What? Ancient Edom, Enochanai. Is Ammon and Moav, I think there's much more a consensus of what is Ammon and Moav. That we pretty much know, the surrounding Eber Hayarden, we pretty much on a map can generalize where Ammon and Moav is. But Edom is a bit more difficult. Edom is more of a mystery. What exactly is Edom? The Gemara Masechta Megillah says that these three nations will be, the land will be given to Klal Yisrael, will be included in Eretz Yisrael, the time of Mashiach. So those three have not yet been given. So here we are recording in the time of the Bayis Sheni, what Hashem has given, which part of the promise has been fulfilled, and which part has not yet been fulfilled. The part that has not yet been fulfilled from the Bris Ben Avsarim is Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni. Now the big mystery is, what about the seventh nation? What about Eretz Rephaim, which is otherwise known as Hachivi? Because we do have indications that it was fulfilled, it was given. I don't have all the details in front of me, I don't even know where to look for the details, but there do seem to be indications that we did receive the land of Rephaim and the land of Chivi, which is one and the same. So the answer, the common answer given is that's all included in the word Kenani. The truth is, the word Kenani is a catch-all phrase which includes, generic phrase, really includes all of the seven nations. For whatever reason here, we're breaking it up into more detail, we'll break up Kenani, and then we go down into the other five, for a grand total of 6. But included in the word, in the nation Kenani, is also the nation called the Eretz Rephaim, or otherwise known as Chivi. So Kenani, really, there was an area specifically called Kenani. Kenani is a general expression term, which is a catch-all, all all of the seven, all of the nations, all of the whole Eretz Yisrael, but it did also refer specifically to a certain region in Eretz Yisrael, and that region on another level included Eretz Rephaim and also Hachivi. So the truth be told, there are really seven nations being listed here. Chivi, Eretz Rephaim, and Kanani are one and the same. There's a Kanani, that's a Kanani, but that's a catch-all to include Chivi, Eretz Rephaim as well. Plus the additional five of Hachiti, Hoyabari, Apuzi, Avusfi, Aroshi, period. All of these things, lost Eis, Lazar, Vatangim, Mesvech, you fully word, Ki, Tzadik, Ata, you are righteous. The word Tzadik is a very interesting expression. How often you have in Tanakh, where we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Tzadik, or we say it every single day, three times a day in Ashrei, Tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rochav v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. Tzadik means one of two things, generally in Tanakh. It means either Midas Hadin, Tzidik Hadin. Tzidik Hadin is when things are not good, or at least not good to our understanding. We acknowledge that to us, this is bad news, but Tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rochav. Tzidik Hadin, l'cho Hashem atztaka, v'lonu b'oshes aponim atishma. There's an entire kina devoted to the idea Tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rochav, l'cho Hashem atztaka. Tzidik Hadin. That's one approach. The word tzaddik is also used in reference to parnasa. There are two ishe hatnach that are called tzaddikim, Yosef hatzaddik and Noach ish tzaddik. You can't get better than that. It says in the pasuk Noach ish tzaddik. Why is Noach called a tzaddik? Why is Yosef called a tzaddik? Because they provide sustenance. For Yosef, Yosef hamashbir. He provided sustenance. He fed his brothers. He fed Mitzrayim. He provided sustenance in the entire world. Noach provided sustenance for all of the creatures in the Teva. So someone that is provides you with sustenance, a human being, the boss, who gives you your paycheck, is a tzaddik. Because he gives you your needs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate tzad. That's why in the Ashrei there are three psukim which go together. Ein echol elecha yisaberu v'ata yu Hashem no sein lohem es ochlon v'ito. So that's the ayin. Then poseach es yodecho maspil l'chol chai rotsa. That's the ultimate pasuk of Parnasa. And then the third pasuk of Parnasa, tzadik Hashem l'chol d'rocha v'chosin l'chol masa. So if you ask the average person, you tell them that if you say Ashrei, oh, the most important pasuk of Ashrei is the pasuk of Poseach HaSyodecha, because that's the pasuk of Parnasa. But that's not 100% accurate. There are three, it's a series, it's a trial, it's a chut hamishulash. In the Ashrei, there are three psukim which emphasize Parnasa, the ayin, the pei, and the tzadi, ein echol, v'yat noisein, Poseach HaSyodecha, and tzadik Hashem. So here, what it's saying is something, you take that idea and you plug that into the pasuk. The first of all, you don't have to come on to that. You can learn from this pasuk a very unique chiddush, that there's a new taich in tzaddik. A tzaddik is a person who keeps his word. Fascinating idea. A person who keeps his word from the pasuk. Vatokim es divarecha ki tzaddik ata. You don't have this anywhere in Tanakh. It's a whole new taich. So that will force us to go back to Noach. Noach made a promise, kept his word. What was the promise that Noach made? Noach told the people there's going to be a marble. That was the challenge. He told the people that there's going to be a marble. If you don't do true, you're going to be destroyed. And his word came true. It came true. After 120 years of warning them and building a teva and telling them to tshuva, they didn't believe him. Noach was right. Now he was in the getter of a prophet. But that's not what a prophet is. A prophet is someone who tells you something's going to happen and it comes true. Yosef also, what did he say? Yosef told them that do not worry. He kept his word. He told his brothers after their father died, don't be afraid. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to cause you any trouble, even though you sold me. Did he forgive them? Did he not forgive them? That's a discussion. But he told them, do not worry. I'm not going to go and take revenge. I'm not in ancient times, we don't appreciate this. Today, modern times, so we don't really appreciate. But in ancient times, it was a different world. It was a different world. Someone caused you harm, you take revenge. Yosef was a machadesh. I'm not going to take revenge. You killed me. You threw me into a pit with scorpions and dangerous snakes. You wanted to kill me. And here I am. I have all the power in the world. I just have to blink and you're gone. And no one's holding me back. Our father is no longer living. I can do whatever I want. Don't worry. there's a boss, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not going to touch you. We don't appreciate the depth of what of the statement, what he was doing, what he taught the world with those words in ancient times. It's if you think about it and you study ancient history, it's mind-boggling what he told them. And he kept his word. He kept his word. He's Yosef HaTzadik. So if you take the pasuk over here, so you can go both ways. So you can go Yosef and take Yosef. But let's go first. Go backwards. So here it says, "I mean, it's tzaddik means you keep your word," and that's exactly what Yosef did. But also, you have another interpretation of being that we know that a tzaddik is a person that provides with parnasa. So that's exactly what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael is the land that provides sustenance to Klal Yisrael. It's our homeland. The homeland, what's the purpose of a nation having a homeland? It's a place where you can work the land and you can support yourself. If you're living in another country, you live in America, so where are you getting benefit? Who's supporting you? So we think that we're supporting ourselves. That's not necessarily true. We are supporting ourselves by making use of the American economy. We're not supporting ourselves. It's not our land. This land does not belong to us. It belongs to another nation. We are Jews. We don't belong here. We are guests. We are gerim. And who is providing us with sustenance? We're taking handouts. Now, it's not a handout when you work long hours and you sweat and you toil, but even with all of your effort, all the service you provide, it's all built on the foundation of someone else's country, someone else's nation, someone else's economy. We're benefits. We're recipients. We're working hard, so it's not begetter tzedaka, but we're still taking handouts to some degree. But when you live in Eretz Yisrael, and you make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly gave Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you parnasa. It's not Hashem is the one that's giving you parnasa directly. You're now receiving parnasa from a government, a foreign secular government. Hashem is giving you because this is Hashem's land, which Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael to sustain them, to support them, and therefore Hashem is a tzaddik by giving us Eretz Yisrael, because it's the parnasa directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we have to go backwards to Yosef and to Noach. The title of a tzaddik is someone that gives you parnasa. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem is giving you parnasa directly, so Hashem is a tzaddik. When you're living in Chutz Yaretz, Hashem is a tzaddik, no question about it. Hashem is giving parnasa, but He's giving you parnasa indirectly. He's giving parnasa to the country, to the United States of America, to Great Britain, or to England, to Australia, and you're living there as a citizen, so you're being nener from the country, which in turn is nener from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the degree of the directness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu supporting you is removed one notch, so to speak. And therefore, it's not the direct nature of tzaddik ata. Okay, so this is a very interesting idea of the title of tzaddik. Let's go another few psukim. Vateres oni avosin b'mitzrayim, you saw our poverty in Egypt. Via zakosam shemata al yam sof. Period. Psukim in very interesting places. Not the way we normally say the psukim with Avin. And you heard their cries on the yam sof. Pasuk yud vatiten oso sumovsin b'far v'chol avodah v'chol amar. So you sent down. Osos umovsim. What is the difference between an os and a mofes? So everyone knows an os is something which comes with a warning. There's an advance warning. Mochar yiyeh ha'os hazeh. It's where Moshe says it's going to happen tomorrow. A mofes is on the spot, spontaneous. All of a sudden, something supernatural occurs without any warning. And the key pasuk is Mochar yiyeh ha'os hazeh. My face just happens. You warned them. Some of the makos were warned. You have to go through all the makos. I remember some of them, the whole pattern of the makos. The makos, some of the makos, there was a warning, and some makos just happened on the spot. Also, sumovsim b'far v'chol avodah, all the servants v'chol amartzo, and this entire nation kiyodata ki hezidu aleihem, because they acted with wickedness against the Jewish people. Vatas l'chashem kayem hazeh, and you made for yourself a name like this day. Now, what does it mean over here? Ki hezidu aleihem, they acted wickedly. So there's a famous Ramban. The Ramban says, why were the Egyptians punished? Hashem said in the Brisbane of some Yadot, the Egyptians had a license. So they had a license. So why are they punished? They could say to the Baruch Shalom, you yourself said that we should do this. The answer is, you can do it, but don't enjoy it. Don't enjoy it, and don't overdo it. Don't overdo their limits. You have to give them, you know, there are rights. There's minimum wage, and workers have rights and benefits. They have to be a work environment. All the laws have to, they them slaves. So that's what it means over here. Why do you punish them? Because ki hezidu aleihem. This is one of the psukim is quoted to answer that question, because they did it with relish. They did it maliciously. They did it with willfully, with pleasure. Asher zadu aleihem. That's yisra. Asher zadu mida k'neged mida. Right, Nechanan, it's there as well. Kizad, it's they did it with the over and overboard Mela Magal Gilov Sakal, therefore they're going to be punished. And there's another very important deal you put Latin Osim Bufaru Vukhol Avadov. This goes back to Rashi and Chumash. Not only the Paros suffer, even the slaves, even the Makas Bukharos afflicted, affected, even the Shifcha, the Beis Harechayim, and the slaves in jail. Why? What do they do? A slave, a criminal in jail was locked up. Why should the firstborn slave in jail die? What did he do to the Jewish people? So Rashi says, because they had pleasure. When they read the newspaper, or they listened to the radio, and they heard what was happening to the Jewish people, they had pleasure. You have pleasure. You deserve to suffer as well. So that's what it means here. Not only do Paro suffer, all of Paro's servants, even servants who had no power to inflict harm upon the Jewish people, suffered because they enjoyed the Jewish people suffering. V'chol am artzo, and the entire nation. Ki yadati ki yezid leim etaschah shem k'ayom hazeh. Now what does it mean, shem k'ayom hazeh? So I saw a very beautiful interpretation of the pasuk by David HaMelech in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel it says that David had a shame. I wrote down the pasuk, but I don't know what I did with my piece of paper. Oh, here it is. David HaMelech, the famous Chazal, David HaMelech had a good name. Vayas David Shem. David made for himself a shame. It's a pasuk in Shmuel. Shmuel Aleph. I didn't write down the exact pasuk. And there Chazal looks and what does it mean that David made for himself a shame? David buried his enemies. After, when he went to war, ancient times, you go to war, there's a lot of death. Battles, battlefield, ancient type of warfare. And what happens to the loser? They're dead. They're lying on the battlefield. Who buries them? No one. They just lie there. And the victors, they take the spoils and they go weiter. If the victims, if they have relatives, someone will come along and bury them, good. If not, they'll just lie there until the animals will come and eat them up, or until they'll decay. David HaMelech, when after he fought a battle and he won, would go through the effort of burying the dead of his enemies. Kavod Hames, dignity to his victims. Very interesting idea. You talk in modern times, they're always darshing on the radio and media about, you know, the laws of war and all these Geneva conventions. There's a certain understanding today that there's war, but there has to be a certain civility. I don't know if that's true, but you hear about this every so often. Who's the one that invented this concept? David. David HaMelech did something in ancient times that was unheard of. He buried the dead, his enemies. And that, he created a sensation in the world. He had a reputation of of Hashem as being
civility,
a whole different type of person, a whole different type of Klal Yisrael. Hashem did the same thing at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem buried the dead of the Egyptians. The Egyptians were spit out. Hashem told the Yam to spit them out in order the Jewish people shall see them. But I don't know the rule of the Midrash, but it appears that in the process of spitting them out, they were ultimately buried. Miraculously, the Egyptians had Kvura. And therefore, that's the connect this pasuk to the pasuk in Shmuel. Just like there it says, David made himself ashamed that there was civility, he buried the dead. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also buried the dead Egyptians. The Egyptians, they had some dignity as well. We don't appreciate, we don't know who this is. Chazal tell us that it's a very big thing, kavura. A person doesn't have kavura. We don't know how this works. It's totally beyond us. It's a matter of pure munas chachamim. But there's a certain degree of menucha, menuchas hanefesh, that the dead have when they're buried in the ground. And if they're not buried, cremated, or they're thrown into the sea, or Rahman al-Tzlan, all these other types of things where they're not buried, they're missing a degree of menuchas hanefesh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis on the Egyptians and allowed them to come with a kivur. Okay, we don't know what this means, purely matter of munas chachamim, but it's obviously a very big thing. Okay, let's just do some of the rashes and mitzvahs before we conclude, because we're already out of time. Let us jump back to pasuk vav in the Rashi. Pasuk, there is no pasuk zayin in the Rashi. The samta tamo lemala b'shin lefi shemashmusa b'loshen avar. Okay, the word is very interesting. Diktuk Rashi. There's a word v'samta. Is it v'samta or v'samta? If it's v'samta, that is a statement. You shall. It's a command. Visamta, you in the future shall set, put into place. If you say visamta, it's past tense.
No.
In the past, you have done the following. You in the past have set, have done something. It's amazing. You have the same word.
The trop is on the shin.
The same word. You can even have the same trop. This question is, where is the tam? Where is the emphasis? If the emphasis is at the beginning of the word, then it has an entirely different meaning. Such a type of word in the Torah would be ma'akiv. The Baal Kari would have to repeat the word if he says the samta. And there are many words like this. There are many words like this in the...
Lanu.
Banu. What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, right. So this is a very important thing. These things are ma'akev, v'samta, not v'samta. It's the past tense. Okay, pasuk ches, chorosi mos loshon po'ol. This is a verb that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have forged a bris with Avram Avinu, ki hezidu, ki hirshi. The word hezidu here means wickedness, maliciousness. Ki hirshi, alem kamay ki bedav Hashem zodu alem. Like according to the pasuk in Yisro, ki bedav Hashem zodu v'yachdu this shame rotzen. So here Rashi says shame means not. I told you a drush, but the simple interpretation of shame means will. Looking back to the pasuk says, v'taslucha shame, you made for you shame, a will, a desire to establish with Klal Yisrael, v'taslucha shame kayam azeh, a desire to be associated to benefit Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's see, there are some very short mitzudos. Okay, there's not much to mitzudos. To pasuk vav, shmei ha-shamayim, heim ha-shamayim, hal yenim ha-shahim ha-mel ha-shamayim ha-nirim, v'chol tzvam, heim ha-kacham ha-zolos, v'ato ha-mechai, ato nos n'chiyas ha-mazal l'chul miki v'dem sustenance, zayin ra'an mitzudos, v'yor kastim, amru rabo zemzachon l'vrocha, ki nimroit hishlichu l'kiv shan'esh v'eretz kastim. We know the ancient Babylonians are called the Kastim. Chaldeans. Chaldeans, is that the correct way of pronunciation? Chaldeans. Kastim, Yashem, Hitzil Hashem, saved him. Avraham, Hamoira, Al Roiv, Hagidula, Shayil, La'av, Hamon Goyim, Kamashan, Betoro, Losses, Lazara, Bibne, Arichas, Advam, Chosalom, Shomilas, Losses, Vachain, Dekmikos. So the Matusi is asking a very big question, which is discussed at great length by many Mepharshim. Why in Pasik He, Ches, does it say the word Losses twice? If you look at that Pasik He, Motsas, Lavo, Naman of Necha, the Chorosim, Harbis, Losses. That's number one. It's Eretz Haknani Chiti Hamoy Rapizzi Yavushi V'Hagoshi Losseitz. We say this in davening every day. Everything about it? Why does it say the word Losseitz, Losseitz twice? So Rashi the Mitzudah says...
Many times it doesn't...
I know, many times, but if the Pasuk would have only said the word Losseitz only once, you would not have blinked. You say, U'matzah says to Levavo Ne'mon Lefnecha, the Cholosim Harbris Lo says, "Zeret Sakinani Hachiti Hoemari VeYaprizi VaHivusi VeHagoshi Lizaroi." You don't need the word Lo says a second time
because it's so far apart.
So that's what the Mitzvah says on Derech Pshat. The Bnei Arichas Hadvarim Chozal Loimar Shuv Milas Lo says V'Chein Derech Hamikru. Okay, all the Mefarshim have a lot of the drashos. They say that it was a double giving. Avraham Avinu never really got it. Avraham Avinu did not live to see his children, Eretz Yisrael. It was given to Avraham Avinu spiritually. It was given as a kinyan. But the ones who got it physically are his descendants. So therefore there are two givings. There's a losses to Avraham. That's in the beginning of the pasuk. It was a promise. It was a shvuah. According to Chazal, Avraham made a chazakah. He walked on the boundaries. He made a maisa kinyan. That was in this, but that wasn't an actual, he didn't live there. He didn't have possession. There were other nations living there at the time. But Hashem promised it to him. Hashem gave it to him, a token gift. But his descendants, us, we have the right to live there. You actually go there. They physically have possession. They expel the nations. So there's a double giving, a giving to him and a giving to his children. That's how many Mepharshim learn Shah and the Pasik. End of the Pasik of the Mitsudos, Vate Pasik, that's Vatokam means the Koyamta. You fulfilled your words. That Pasik Tes. You paid attention to their suffering, the onyam ulugolam in their suffering, and you redeemed them. Ki hezidu alayhem hirshiu, they were wicked. Al Yisrael lehavidam, to destroy them. Bekoishi v'perach, with crushing her labor. Ki hayoyim hazeh asher desfarsem shimcha admot. So what does it mean hayoyim hazeh? It means like today. Today it's undeniable. It is undeniable what you have done for your nation. But that's a little bit difficult reading it today in the 21st century because they do deny it. It's not open. It's not kayyam azeh. It's interesting. In Talmud Nechemiah, if you learn the pasuk very simply, kayyam azeh, Talmud Nechemiah, it was undeniable. It was history. It was a fact. You go online, go back to the time of Nechemiah, time of Bayis Sheni. No one could deny the facts. It was still clear. Hashem took out Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It was about 900 years ago. Everyone knew this. Ki hayoyim hazeh. Unfortunately, we live today in the 21st century. Even unfortunately, the conservative movement—they'll say, "Oh, everyone agrees today that the events written in the Torah never really happened." Right? Isn't that what it says in the Haggadah, in the introduction to the newest edition of the conservative Chumash? Never really happened. Nothing. That's the understanding today. Rachmana litzlan. Even Achein b'nei Yisrael have come to a point where what it says here, ki hayoyim hazeh, even that they don't want, that doesn't exist. Even amongst us, forget about amongst the goyim. Still amongst the goyim, they deny everything. But it appears, according to the very simple reading of the pasuk, at the time of Nehemiah, it was explicit, it was undeniable the miracles that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael. That's one interpretation. Others from Farshman said that's not what it means. Because if that's what it means, it would say, Ki yoyim hazeh. You don't need the hey. Ki yoyim hazeh. What's the hey? Ki hayoyim hazeh. So it means it's just like the day. It means like the day. It's. It doesn't mean just like when the sun shines.
It's clear as day.
It doesn't really answer the question because it's still as clear as day. But it's the same idea. The same idea that Hashem, it's undisputable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed Klal Yisrael just like the day is clear. clear as day. Okay, there's a lot more here to do. We'll have to pick this up tomorrow. There are many more ideas I want to discuss in these psukim. We'll pick it up tomorrow.